got a brand new way for you to end your day. New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
Question. You know how, like, we get comfortable as, like, comfort zones as human beings, right? They're fantastic. That's why they're called comfort zones. So, like, you get used to a certain thing, and then if you do something outside of your comfort zone, it's either a thrill or a shill. Like, it's one or two. You know, you're always like, it's a woo!
I don't know if they call it a shill.
Or it's, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
So, last night I tried something that I don't normally do, and I think I might have been dying on a hill unnecessarily for a while.
Okay.
Went away for the weekend.
Yep.
Normally when I get back, for whether I've gone for a day, a month, a week, whatever it is, I unpack everything that night. Because then it's like...
Okay, so you're a serial killer. Great.
I'm not a serial killer.
That is unbelievable.
I've always done it. Before I go to bed, clothes, whatever, if we've brought stuff back, they're in their right spots. Like, yeah. Everything goes back. Last night I thought, you know what would be crazy? You know, it would be absolutely wild.
Oh, my God, you're a madman.
I'm 30 now, and I'm living that kind of that life. And I was like, I'm not going to unpack anything.
Wow. So when we're talking about not unpacking, like...
The suitcase is still zipped up, mate.
Did you get everything out of the car, though?
Yeah.
I'm not
an animal.
Okay.
I'm not just going to leave stuff in the car overnight. But, yeah, so it's like some of it's in the hallway in a suitcase. Yeah. I got bags next to the bed.
I will have suitcases open for weeks before I put things away.
I don't mind it. I'm 24 hours in.
Yeah.
Haven't unpacked. Don't plan on doing it tonight either.
How's your wife Jess feeling about this?
She's all on board.
Oh, great.
Because she doesn't now. I'm not going, unpack your things.
Oh, okay.
Unpack your things now before you go to bed. You'll feel better in the morning.
Have you
about
done
it.
The rummage through the suitcase yet to find something that you took on the weekend that you need?
This is how low I've got. This is crazy, right? So yeah. I unzipped the top of the suitcase and just put my hand in and fished around until I found my phone charger because I'm living on the edge.
You're a wild man. Somebody come arrest him. He's a criminal.
5223 2955. Should you unpack the night you get home from being away, or should you just be a cool cat?
Mate,
be a cool dude.
I say if it's been a few months and you haven't unpacked anything
right.
in that suitcase, you don't need anything in that suitcase, baby.
We had a dear friend of ours, a mutual friend, who famously in our friendship group, he packed for Christmas, went away for 2 weeks, came back and just left his suitcase open.
In his cupboard.
In his cupboard and would fetch clothes from there and never hang them back up.
And then put fresh clothes back into the suitcase once he'd washed them.
And then a whole year later went away for Christmas again with some of the same things still in that suitcase.
That's a real story.
5223 2955. Unpacking when you get back from going away. Should you do it the night you get back or just whenever, man? Eva in Geelong, we always appreciate your hot takes when you call up the show on 5223 2955. How do you feel about this? Should you be unpacking as soon as you get home or can you just let it ride?
I love this question because it made me want to ask, like, and I want your opinions as well. Like, no one really believes the concept of being so much of a perfectionist, like, because everyone's like, you're clean or messy.
Right.
What about being so much of a perfectionist that you don't want to clean because you know you can't do it perfectly?
Oh, I've never thought that much. So it's like,
is that
why
what you're like, Eva? Are you just an absolute perfectionist?
Yeah, that's why, like, 2 years ago I moved out and I still haven't unpacked my boxes, like, of my shoes and bags. They're still in the shed in the front room. And my housemate, he kind of has to be okay with that. I mean, he grew up with six older sisters, so, like, he's kind of put in place and I don't think he wants to speak up and be like, hey, can you, like, get rid of some of those shoes?
I feel like this is what you're describing of what you've done for the last 2 years. This is kind of like I've had, I've walked past someone smoking marijuana and you're asking me to do crack cocaine right now. I don't know if I can do that. I'm not a bad boy.
Okay.
All right. Well, Eva, that is a wild thing to call up and say.
That's a wild thing to be to accuse Eva of.
Eva.
No, 100%. But we need recognition because, like, I am so clean. Like, I have an inspection coming up and mate, like, I'm scrubbing tiles.
Yeah.
But if I'm not cleaning, I'm not cleaning.
Okay, well, fair enough. That's Eva's hot take for the day. She's joking. Yeah, you wouldn't be. Well, she's crazy, man. I don't know if I could. That sounds a little bit too far.
You've got a brand new way to drive home. It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Tim, this weekend I was playing a tour guide to my boyfriend's family, my hopefully soon-to-be in-laws, fingers crossed.
I do appreciate when you refer to your boyfriend's parents as the in-laws.
Yeah.
It's positive. It's manifesting.
Well, look, we've been together for nearly 5 years now, so we're basically at this point together. Like,
sure.
The ring is just it's paperwork.
Yeah, I'm sure, and that's how you feel about it because you never bring it up that your boyfriend hasn't proposed.
I'm totally okay with it. It's totally fine.
What a stereotype to not lean into. Yeah. Congratulations.
And so as I was playing tourist this weekend, I reached out to one of my good mates who actually is one of the managers at the Old Melbourne Jail.
Right. I've never been. I heard it's scary.
Such a great experience. She organised us some tickets, which I was very grateful for.
And such a cool guy thing to be. Yeah, look at these tickets I got organised.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Put your wallet away. I've got it. And it was...
I've got 4 free tickets, please, to go see the jail.
So we did a tour of like the Old Melbourne Jail, which is like the Ned Kelly stuff. Like you go into the cells. Wow. It's a really cool experience. But the other tour I'd never done before. And she was like, you've got to do the second tour as well.
This is your friend, yeah?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, what is this? And she said, it's the Watch House experience, right?
Watch House experience.
So the Watch House is right next to the Old Melbourne Jail. And it's essentially, like, it was still in operation until 1994.
Sounds like that's where the prison guards used to hang out, the Watch House.
Wow, it's actually like a kind of temporary jail, essentially. So
okay, like holding.
Yeah, if you got arrested somewhere in Melbourne, they'd bring you into that temporary holding cell and either move you to Pentridge Prison or you'd get released on bail, right? So the Watch House experience starts off, the tour guide is dressed as a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with him arresting the entire group.
Oh, no.
So I just want you to picture me, my boyfriend Akshay, his mother, who's quite short, and his sister, okay? So older sister. And the four of us are going into this experience not knowing what's about to happen.
Right. And your boyfriend's mother, English, not first language.
No. She immigrated from Kashmir many
Northern
years ago.
Part of India,
so, yeah. So she speaks English, but, you know, not amazingly. So my friend Maddie told this tour guide, hey, my friends are coming in. This is what they look like. Give them a personal experience.
Such a bad idea.
So this prison guard, police officer, dressed as a police officer, fake police officer guy, greets everyone in the group, and he's fully in character from the beginning. Walks out of the Watch House. He's like, righto then, come on, in you get. He's yelling on the street at us. I was like, what did we pay for? What are we doing? And he's like, spotted me and Akshay and said, ah, here they go, Jess and Akshay. The old Bonnie and Clyde, back again. Just the regular selfie, you guys, will it?
Oh, no.
Brings us into the station with the rest of the group. So the rest of the group's like, how does he know their names? Like, what is going on? And he's like...
You look like the obvious plant in a situation where it's like, I've never seen this man before in my life.
He's like, men to the right, ladies to the left. So I line up with his mum and his sister. And he's like, right, spread your legs up against the wall. Does like a search.
Pat down. Oh my God.
Didn't actually pat us down, but was yelling. Like it's a full on experience. Like fully you feel like you're about to go into prison. He's like, put your bags on the ground. I don't care if they're Louis Vuitton or Gucci or what. Chuck them on the ground. So full on. And Akshay's mum is not a fast walker.
Right.
So she starts walking in the line. He's like, oh, all right, we've got all day, have we?
Oh, no.
Take your time. Yes. So they saw the funny side of it, thankfully. But it could have gone very poorly.
Next time they visit, you're going to take them to get fake mugged and be like, oh, my God, he's got my purse. Stop it, mister. Save me.
Listen in the way home. Listen in the sun. All new. All drive all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
On 52232955, I want fellas, male identifiers.
Okay. All right. You asked for a bloke before. I'm yes. happy enough and I know myself enough to know I'm probably not a bloke.
Yeah.
Barely a man.
Okay.
I'm a boy.
You're about to be a father.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like I don't. I have boy energy, and I'm fine
like
with that.
I feel like I need men with the equipment, right?
Okay.
Because I don't have that equipment
that we know of.
Okay, how dare you?
Well, I've never seen it.
A new YouGov survey has been done on male bathroom habits.
Okay.
Okay, and it looked at how men go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Compared to your counterparts across the globe.
Right. So stereotypically, I imagine we're talking about like standing at a urinal or standing
Correct.
Over a toilet bowl.
Or sitting, Tim, because they right. found that 1 in 4 Australian men always sit down to urinate.
I know one person that did this, mutual friend
Stop
of ours.
Stop it.
Young Jim.
No way.
Young
really?
Jim used
Every
to do
time.
This. A friend of ours, he works in, like he makes podcasts
Fascinating.
For a living. You know who has, now this could be one of the most unnecessary slams of all time.
Please continue.
Tom from The Breakfast Show. Like if he said that, you wouldn't be absolutely
sure.
shocked.
Yeah.
Like if Lingy said it, you'd be like, what do you mean?
Right.
Cameron, come on. But if Tom said it, you'd be like, all right, fair enough. Yeah, you have that energy.
Well, apparently, in comparison to people around the world, Australians sit down more than
wow.
any other country, except for Germany.
Okay.
In Germany, 40% say that they always sit down, including,
right.
in fact, they all sit down so often, they actually have a word for it. And in German, they're called Sitzsprinkler.
Aw, that's nice.
So on 52232955, will you admit to being a Sitzsprinkler?
Ah, a man that sits while he wees. The only time it ever happens for me is sometimes if you think you need to go number two.
Okay.
And you go there because
I was worried this conversation was going to happen.
Let's have an honest conversation as two adults. So sometimes you go and you go, all right, well, I'm hoping for a number two.
Yeah.
Because you always do a number one, but sometimes not a number two. But you
sure.
always, there's always a number one there. So sometimes you go and then like sometimes you get like the happen and then nothing.
Oh my god!
And then
are we
nothing.
Actually
it's like,
having this conversation. Please stop. Please stop. Okay. 1 in 4 Australian men always sit down.
So technically, if you're in a car with 4 men right now,
well,
one of
Tim,
you is doing it.
We have 4 phone lines here at K-Rock.
So one of them has to ring. I don't think that's how that works.
No, no, no. We're going to get 4 callers.
I doubt it.
And at least one of them will sit down. I guarantee it. Whether you sit or stand, give us a call, 52232955, because we're going to do our own little survey.
Right, so if someone calls up, you're going to guess if they stand or sit to wee.
Do you want to?
I don't care. Sorry.
I just want to test the theory, because I don't think that 25% of all Australian men are actually sitting down.
Seems unlikely. 52232955. One brave man.
That's all we need.
Call this show right now and we will tell you how you wee. That's right. We can do it. We have the technology. We can make this happen. I'm surprised. We've had a few people call.
We have had a few people call.
Because you want to try and figure out this
Well,
statistic.
Look, we've got 4 phone lines, Tim.
Yep.
Statistically, one of these calls at least will be a sitter.
I disagree so heavily with your math there, but sure. All right. Is it Loki from Nor Lane joins us now on the phone? Loki, do you stand or sit when you do a wee?
I sit.
Nice.
We've got a sitter.
I wish I got some beautiful sound. Like every single time you need to go for a wee, you'll sit down.
I mean, if I'm out bush somewhere, you know, I'll stand, but otherwise, yes. Yeah.
I mean, thank you for bringing up that. That was how inconsiderate of me, Loki. So is it just a comfort thing? Is it something that you learnt when you were younger? Give us the rundown.
There's a reason for it. I suppose I'll tell you. I have had a lot of piercings in my life.
Oh, my God.
You can connect the dots.
God.
it just became a lot easier to not have to worry about holding it properly. And just sit.
I had not considered that.
This is now gone to my favourite conversation we have ever had on this show. So that is that called a Prince Albert?
Is it?
There's several different types.
Sure.
The Prince Albert is a ring that goes through.
Ah, yay. Let's not remember. We're all the family here.
Still some keep children, it to, let's keep it probably to the
dinner,
in the cars.
Dinner table.
Yep.
Okay. I feel like we're, cool.
Okay, great. Yep. Excellent.
Thank you for the insight.
Sit sprinkler.
I will call you off air because I am fascinated about every aspect of this.
Stay on the phone.
Dave in Geelong West, do you sit or do you stand when you need to do a wee?
I'm a stander, mate, but I want to know if besides young Loki that has the piercing, if these other blokes that are sitting, if they do decide to stand, are they these weird people that have their pants around their ankles at the urinals?
Preppy style, yeah.
Is this not a thing?
Yeah, but not preppies. Like, you're a full-grown adult. Man.
Yeah.
Mate,
sometimes
you
people
don't have your pants around your ankles.
Yeah.
I assumed you all did.
At the
footy
match
you
at the MCG. Okay.
Yeah,
on,
that's
mate.
Where, yeah, Dave, that's where I've seen it in the past. But you got to remember, people are living their lives. If they feel more comfortable in a room full of 70 people to put their pants all the way down to their ankles to, and then lift up their shirt to do a wee. That's on them.
If you are listening right now, are you just learning so much about men right now?
I cannot stress that is not a common way for men to stand and wee.
It's not a common thing. And it freaks me out every time I see it. I'm like, what are you doing, mate?
Stop going to the footy. I don't know. hold it when you go. Mate, it's something that you're going to see.
Have you got two mums?
No one to teach, I'm guessing, is what Dave is still leading to.
No.
Tell you what, Tim, this is not where I thought it was going to go.
I mean, as much as that irritates me, that could be a general reason why that happened. I think you put your pants all the way there. I don't know. Ask your other mum.
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Spoken about this a little bit, but my wife and I were expecting a little baby boy in just over 2 months' time. We're very, very excited. 30 weeks this week. So we had our 30-week scan today, Jess.
Very
exciting.
Before
I get into the details of the scan, I'd let you know because I know you like to hear this.
Yeah.
He's the size of a cabbage.
Oh, a cabbage?
Right now we haven't.
Little Hugo Bolch is getting big.
His name is not Hugo, and it will never be Hugo, but I appreciate you trying literally every single day to try and persuade me and my wife. Now, my wife, her name's Jess as well, and we went to the Dr. Barwon Health today.
Yep.
This morning, and because I don't have a real job, I can go to all the appointments.
Amazing.
So everything's really cool. Yeah. And we found out he was going to be a boy. Long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Got the blood test, the NIPS test, whatever it is. And we were getting the scan today, and he's getting bigger. So, like, the scans that we've had previously, you can pretty much see all of his body.
Yes.
And now it's like, all right, well, here's his head. Here's his bottom half.
Trust us. The rest of him is still there. Yeah.
And so the incredible sonographer, they're, like, going through, and they're doing all the stuff, and they're showing us different sides, and they're showing us. They're like, oh, here's his little bum. And I was like, oh, that's adorable.
Cute.
Here's his little bum. Yeah. Like, this, I'm going to be seeing this bum in a couple of months. This is so cool. And then there's something else. And you go, and I was like, oh. And she goes, the plums.
No.
Mm. And she's like, well, that's his... His little plums. and then she's like, and that is the string bean, I guess you would say.
Yep.
She didn't use that, but for the sake of this conversation, she's like, well, there's the plum.
I assumed, she'd more professional than what you're describing her as.
And I was like, very curious, because we know he's a boy. So it just confirmed it, right? And I said to her, I was like, okay, hypothetically say we didn't know what we were having. That was very clearly plums and a string bean.
Oh, so like you saw it very clearly.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, let's play a hypothetical. And like my wife's like lying down. She's got all the goo all over her. She's doing like serious measurements. And I'm like, no, let's play a game. I'm like, pretend.
Thank God you didn't have to work and you could be there for her, Tim.
I was like, pretend we didn't know what the gender of our baby is.
Yeah.
How do you
Hide that.
Hide that. Because you've got to check to see the legs are all there and everything's growing.
Yeah.
And they obviously
That's
know.
That's what they check for.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, two legs, two
well, no,
arms.
They check because they measure the arms, they measure the legs, they measure everything. And she was like, I just say it's an umbilical cord. And I was like, I don't remember an umbilical cord having two plums on it. I feel like because you...
Okay,
I imagine,
he reads one book about pregnancy and all of a sudden he knows everything.
I don't think you need to be a doctor to know what the difference between an umbilical cord and a baby's genitals.
Right. So if you don't see the plums, it's safe to assume you've got a girl.
There's a big chance.
Yeah.
There's a big chance. And, yeah, so it was...
Honestly, to me, it all just looks like a ghost anyway. So.
A ghost. It is confronting, especially...
Did you get the 3D one again?
No, we couldn't get the placenta was a little bit in the way to get the 3D scan. So they tried it, and it looked like... And I love my wife, and everything that's happening is so beautiful, but it looked like the most horrific scene in a horror movie of all time when they tried to do the 3D print. I will have it. I have some advice. If you do get the 3D printed version, if you are expecting, put it in black and white. It makes it...
Way easier
to consume as your eyes because with that pinky yellow colour and it looks like a little alien, it is.
I'm going to love you so much.
A little SpongeBob.
All new, all drive, all week long. It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Jess, last week we discovered something that we don't like the desks that we have here at the radio station on Moorabool Street. But after doing a tour of Workspace 365 last week for a work thing, we decided that there's definitely better options.
Yeah.
Very close in the GMHBA building just across the road.
I mean, perfect for, you know, if we want to hang out and explore with a whole bunch of other people.
We have lots of corporate things.
Yeah.
Meetings, phone calls, phone call meetings. There's so many things.
They've got like their receptionist team that can take our calls for us and pass on the messages. They've got incredible office spaces that overlook just parts of Geelong that we've never seen before, Tim.
We don't have a window with a view here on Moorabool Street. We have a grate out the side of our window. But, Jess, you said something earlier. You're like, well, we should ask our boss. And that's Tom from The Brekkie Show. Now, I know that's... You go, well, how is he your boss? Yeah, he just is.
He is.
Can't fight it.
He's not always that silly.
No. But you thought that if we call him live on air,
the
radio announcer in him, he'll have to say yes.
Yeah, he's not going to say no if we just surprise him. It's like a surprise attack.
Yeah, because we want to work from... We'll come back into the show here, but we want to have our office over at Workspace 365.
I think we need to kind of butter him up a little bit and then just rip off the band-aid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ready to call it?
Let's do it.
Hello, this is Tom.
Tommy, boss man, big T. It's Tim and Jess. We're live on air.
Who is this?
It's Tim and Jess.
Oh. Oh. Hey.
You're live on air. Please don't swear.
Now, Tom, sorry to call you. I know a lot of people, some people might not know this. So not only are you on The Brekkie Show, but you're also Jess and mine's boss. Per se. So
most lax boss that we've ever had. Just a top guy, just a great bloke.
Yeah, great. Okay, what do you want? What do you need?
No, that's it. We just thought we'd call and big up you for a bit. No, Jess has a theory.
On the radio.
Yeah, Jess has a theory that if we call you live on air and ask you something, because you're such a cool, fun-loving boss.
Just a great boss.
You can't say no. So Jess has a question for you.
Don't make me do it.
Yeah.
Hey, so
have you guys heard breakfast? I'm not cool or fun.
Tom, you know how we got the tour of Workspace 365 the other day?
Across the road, in the GMHBA building. Yeah. It was amazing because it had a beautiful view.
Yes.
The view. That's what I'm interested in, the view.
Yeah. It is a good view. Now, do you remember how firstly, Jess and I don't have an office and our view is a metal grate out of a window. You remember that?
Yes.
Because you put us there?
Yeah, I'm aware. Okay. I'm aware. Yeah, I know where you sit. Yeah, definitely. Because I used to sit there before I
You have your own office?
Management.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were thinking we could get our own office.
Yeah.
But just like across the street. We'll be so close. We'll still come back here and do the show every afternoon.
We'll do meetings through video from their conference rooms, all that kind of stuff.
But they've got all the gear over there.
We just set up.
Mm-hmm. We just need the okay to get a room.
How would that possibly work? I don't understand. And your desk is lovely. It's open. There's plenty of light.
There's always
people artificial light,
walking past, heckling us.
Talking, asking, where's this, Tim? What's going on, Jess? And we're rightfully sick of it. So
no one makes phone calls these days, so you don't need to be able to make a phone call. it's fine.
All right, we'll leave the phones here in this building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we'll just take our laptops over to Workspace 365 and they can hook us up with the area. And then we're out of your hair. We're looked after. We come back here and do the show at 3 o'clock. Yep. Everyone's happy.
Thumbs up.
If I let you guys do that, then what do I say to Loggy and Lingy and Ben and Boat and the Work Experience kids? Okay. They're all going to want to go over there.
Listen, Lingy's already got a good contract, so don't worry about Lingy.
I don't think anyone needs to worry about Lingy. So from what I'm vibing, it's a soft yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
You are very bad at interpreting signals.
Okay, well...
It's a no. It's an absolute no. Okay, right. You cannot leave the building to go across the road and work from there. So, and how would you do the show? They don't have a studio set up.
No, we'd still come back for the show. It's just for, you know, workday stuff.
If we were running late, we could set something up so we could do
Easy.
It from there. So I'm
They're
glad.
Very accommodating.
So all on the same page. Soft yes, happy to start.
As of next Monday, right?
Start soon. Sooner rather than later.
Nah, not happening. If you guys try and go over there, I'm going to be very unimpressed. We can't, unless the whole team were to go over there, which is not management.
I think the phone's
never
breaking up, Tom. I can't hear Tom.
I think he must be in a tunnel.
I think are you going through a tunnel, Tom?
Hey,
yeah.
I can't hear you.
It's breaking up a little bit.
All right, well.
Do not step away from your desk. That is where all your stuff must stay and where you must
work
from.
I did hear a soft yes in there. That was Tom from the Brekkie Show. Sorry, I've just turned his. Sorry, there's something wrong with his phone. I can't hear him anymore. Anyway, sounds good. All right. Nice.
I think we should call the guys at Workspace 365, try and set something up.
Yeah, because this call went so well. I'm sure the next one will too.
You've got a brand new way to drive home. It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Got a doozy for you.
Hit me.
The other day, I was cleaning out the spare room for my wife and I were speaking about it earlier. We're expecting a baby in the next couple of months and turning the spare room into a nursery, so it's all really exciting. But the spare room was just a sty.
Yeah.
We'd moved
Everyone's
in.
Got a room of shame, Tim. It's totally fine.
And since we moved into the house in October, it's just the room that we go, all right.
Yeah.
See no evil, hear no evil. it's not a problem. We're
like Harry Potter, the room of requirement.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we obviously required just crap everywhere. Because every time we went in, that's what kept showing up.
Yeah.
And we were going through some boxes. And I don't know about if this is just myself that maybe used to do this. Well, I still do it. So I have like a box called Tim's Knickknacks. It's got little bits and bobs from when I was a kid to like now.
Right.
It's got medals from like fun runs I've done.
Right, okay.
It's got for some reason, my first place swimming ribbons from when I was in school. Random stuff. It's got like tokens from when I was overseas. But it's not important enough, I think, to show.
I have like those boxes, but I've left them at mum and dad's. And my dad called me recently because my parents have just retired. And he's like, right, kids, everyone come over.
Yeah, you get there.
Grab your stuff.
We're getting a skip. If you're not here before the 5th, it's
like,
going.
I don't want the trophy, but I also don't want you to throw it away. So you just keep the trophy at your house.
Yeah. Be proud of your child. Yeah. I don't need to be proud of me.
Don't you love me, Dad?
And so going through this box and I found this newspaper and I was like, what is this newspaper? And previously, because my wife used to do some stuff for a council where we used to live, she used to be in the newspaper like every 5 weeks.
Oh my God,
weeks.
I used to send her little videos of her in the newspaper. And just say fame over and over again.
And I've got a stack of maybe, 10 newspapers where there's a story about some work that she used to do.
Super proud.
Yeah, super proud. And I was like, well, this is weird that this isn't in the proud pile.
Yeah.
This is weird. So, and I like threw it to my wife and she's reading it and she goes, nothing. I'm not in here. This has nothing to do with you. So I'm like, oh, whatever. Threw it out.
Oh, no.
We were catching up with some mates the other day and they recently got engaged and they were saying that they got a speeding ticket on the day they got engaged. And I was like, oh, you should frame it.
Yeah.
What you should do is, because he said he scrunched it up and he threw it in the bin, but then his partner went and got it out and they flattened it. And I was like, you should absolutely frame it. That's a really special memento. I remember I got the newspaper the day that I proposed to my wife. And then I went, oh, no. Oh. And then my wife went, no. So we've thrown out
your special memento.
The special memento of
what was the headline though? Was it a good headline at least?
No, it was like
carjacker attacks again.
It was like milk industry mooing mad or something. Like it wasn't. But I've thrown out the newspaper.
Oh no.
5223295. What have you accidentally thrown out?
Yeah.
it's a doozy. I know you've recently
I've had a doozy and a half. I've caused myself such a conundrum, Tim.
Yep.
It is... It's always painful to talk about.
A massive inconvenience. 52232955. What did you accidentally throw out?
Well, I've moved twice in the last 6 months, and somewhere in those two moves, I must have thrown away a box that contained not only my passport, but also my birth certificate.
It's just the worst case scenario.
Well, because you know what you need to get a birth certificate, Tim?
Your
need your ID and your passport. Yeah. And to get a passport, you need your ID and your birth certificate. And so I'm in this like loophole of paperwork at the moment.
I told you, that's why they should verify flyby cards.
Yes.
To make it another proof of identity.
I'm so with you on that.
But yeah, that's
yeah. So if anyone is a justice of the peace, that's what I'm looking for at the moment.
Sarah from Bell Parks giving us a call. Sarah, what did you accidentally throw?
I accidentally threw out a TV remote.
Oh, like the main TV remote, Sarah?
Like the main TV remote.
Oh, God.
Just annoying.
Yeah, like how do you manage to throw that away?
Well, it was a bedroom TV, and I was clearing out clothes, like to give to the Selvos.
Yeah,
of course.
And it was just lying on the bed, and it went in the back.
So someone could go and buy it for $10 at Selvo's down the road and they could come do a drive-by past your house and just change the channel.
I love to think of the Selvo's going through the bag and being like, where is the TV this remote belongs to?
Yeah, I know.
They're like, you're generous, but not very generous. Sarah, thank you very, very much. Brett in Bell Park as well on 52232955. What have you accidentally thrown out, Brett?
Sorry, just on that last one, it would have been all right if it was a universal remote, then it could just be used on any TV. Well,
that's true. Maybe it was.
I think it was just a Panasonic, unfortunately, there, Brett.
Maybe it was like mine, a PAL Sonic.
It wasn't me that threw something out. I was in Queensland a number of years ago with my brother, and he was doing some spring tidying and started looking for an extremely expensive TAG Heuer that he had bought. And
a pretty fancy watch, Brett.
Yeah, it was a quite a few months' salary for most of people. And couldn't find it and was freaking out. And we drove to the Selvo's or whatever, wherever it was that he dropped the stuff off. And they were already closed. He rang them and fortunately somebody was still there. And they hadn't gone through the clothes yet, but he got it back about 3 or 4 days later.
Oh, that's a relief.
Imagine getting like such a nice watch for like $50 down at the Selvo's.
If you got that for $15, you could go on a nice holiday pretty much anywhere in the world.
Goodbye. All thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye. Goodbye.
New show, new podcast. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.